I'm Carol Hills, and you're listening to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. This week, we're taking time to focus on women's rights in India. It's part of some special coverage we're calling Her Rights. We've got Marco on the ground in Mumbai, along with co-host Ritu Chatterjee. I'm going to let them take over the show for a few minutes. Over to you, Marco.
Hey there, Carol.
Hi, Carol. We're coming to you again from Mumbai. And in fact, today we're standing outside this mansion that belongs to one of Bollywood's highest paid actors, Shah Rukh Khan. And we've been doing some amazing stories on women's rights. And you can follow along on social media using the hashtag HerRights.
All those great reports, plus coming up later today in the program, Sounds and Rhythm. We've got some music that's going to transport you. It'll be like you're here with us in India. That singer's name is I.P. Singh, and we'll hear more from him in a bit.
But first, let me tell you a story that's happening just next door in Bangladesh. Remember Rana Plaza, Marco? The garment factory that collapsed in 2013, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was a horrific incident. More than 1,000 people died. And since then, we've heard a lot of discussion about safety and working conditions in these factories. Now, what's going on there right now is a lot of women who work in these factories are really pushing to change their working conditions. From Dhaka, we have the story from reporter Bruce Wallace.
About 15 people cram into a small room on the top of a three-floor brick and corrugated tin building, more or less in from a hallway just outside the door. The group is mostly women, and all of them work at Dhaka Dyeing, a garment factory that makes clothes for Gap and Target, among other companies. They want to start a union. As the evening call to prayer finishes up outside, Shruti Akhtar starts her pitch. She's the general secretary of the Garment Workers Solidarity Federation. Before that, she was a garment worker herself.
I'm Shruti Akhtar. I'm in 94.
In 1994, her salary was 250 taka, or about $3 a month, she tells him. She's been fighting for workers' rights since then, she says, and been to jail twice. She doesn't want them to be harassed like she was. I'm a worker. I'm not a leader. I never introduce myself as a leader, she says. I just understand a little more than you. But there are things you know that I don't know. Organizing a union is not illegal in Bangladesh, but the workers still try to meet in secret. They moved their meetings here recently because a neighbor at their old spot started asking questions. Akhtar warns the workers that if the bosses find out, they'll try to pit workers against each other, have them sign things that can then be used against them, and search for reasons to fire them. They may get violent, too. One day they may hit Rahima, Akhtar says, indicating a woman sitting nearby. Another day it could be someone else. You should speak up against the abuse, so they won't dare to hit another worker again. 2 years ago, garment workers won a hard-fought wage increase, more than doubling the minimum wage to the equivalent of $68 a month. Akhtar says that unions will fight to double that again in the next 5 years. A new labor law also guarantees longer maternity leave and profit sharing for workers. Akhtar says only unions can make these promises a reality. A union is like an umbrella, she tells the workers. We won't get wet in the rain, and we won't get hot in the sun. After about half an hour, workers start lining up to fill out forms saying that they want a union. Akhtar keeps talking. A few days later, my interpreter and I run into Akhtar on our way out of the offices of the BGMEA, the Garment Factory Owners Industry Group. Garment exports accounted for $24 billion last year, 80% of Bangladesh's total exports. And many of the country's elected officials have a stake in those exports. That's what Akhtar's up against.
No. Is it okay if he rides with us?
Oh, of course, yeah.
We're both headed to a government labor office, so we ride together. Akhtar's shuttling paperwork in between the BGMEA and the labor office, trying to register a union at another factory. Unions were outlawed in Bangladesh in 2007 as part of a military-backed emergency law meant to settle political upheaval. But there's been a burst of labor organizing since a new labor law passed in 2013. Now unions cover some 150,000 garment workers, still a tiny fraction of the 4 million total. And women, who represent 80% of garment workers, have been underrepresented in leadership.
Many times those unions are very hierarchical. They're very male-dominated.
Sanchita Saxena directs the Chowdhury Center for Bangladesh Studies at UC Berkeley.
Oftentimes the union heads or the union bosses are professional union workers, so they've never worked in the garment factory themselves.
Female leadership in unions is increasing, though. The two most visible garment worker leaders in the country are women. And the AFL-CIO reports that two-thirds of factory-level leaders are now women. And that could be good news for unions as they try to persuade garment workers to take the risk of signing up. Organizer Shruti Akhtar knows how to talk to the workers on their level. To understand the next clip here, you need to know that in rural Bangladesh, people have a way of holding on to a particularly slippery species of fish. Owners are slick like a slippery fish. And do you know what we need to grab slippery fish? Ashes, the workers say. Ashes. The ashes is our union, Akhtar says. All workers need to be united. It's been a few months since Akhtar's meeting with the Dhaka Dyeing Company employees. The government has turned down their union application twice, both times claiming they didn't have signatures from the required 30% of workers. Akhtar's not daunted, though. She says that they'll apply again, and the next time, they'll have signatures from 70% of the workers. For The World, I'm Bruce Wallace, Dhaka, Bangladesh.